Christmas communion. Let's pray. Father, thank you that today we have this opportunity to come together and to celebrate your birth. We ask you, God, to bless this communion time, bless our fellowship with you, and we thank you for every person that's gathered here today. God, I pray that you meet with each one of them in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. So from the stable to the table, the Last Supper, as we are preparing to receive communion this morning, I just want to remind you that Jesus Christ was born to die. Lying in the manger within a stable in Bethlehem is the first gift of Christmas. He was all wrapped in swaddling clothes. And over the next 33 years, lots of things happened in his life, leading him from the stable to the table, which is the Last Supper, when he served this to his disciples. When we come to observe this ordinance, it should be a time of remembrance of the difference Christ has made in our lives, in the past, in the present, and the future. Now, we don't need a ghost to escort us through Christmas past, present, and future, like we've seen in the movies. All we need is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, so that we may remember. First of all, Christmas past. Remember the Lord's death. Hebrews 10, verse 5 says, Christ's death fulfills God's will. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. So the Lord's death was only made possible because of his birth. The Old Testament centered on the sacrifice of unblemished lambs, and the lambs did not take away their sins, but it covered their sins, and it had to continually be sacrificed again and again. But when Mary gave birth to Jesus, she gave birth to the perfect Lamb of God. And we find in Hebrews 10:10, the scripture says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And in this passage in Hebrews, the writer is talking about sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor did you have any pleasure in them. And then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. So the continually sacrificing of lambs, God took that away and sent his son, Jesus Christ, the perfect lamb, because by him offering his body, it was once and for all. So Jesus was the once and for all lamb. Christ was the gift of our redemption. It was Christmas past when this tiny gift was presented to the world. And that gift keeps on giving. Jesus was the perfect lamb. He was born to die that you and I might live. And as Jesus got close to that time of his death, he wanted to spend a few hours with his disciples. He wanted to instruct them in some things. And that is when we have the Last Supper. And they took communion together. And he taught them that taking communion together was the way to show forth his death until he comes again. So as we partake of communion today, We are showing forth Christ's death until he returns. Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave. And so his gift continues to give to us eternally. He's our redemption. And then there is Christmas presents. Christmas present. Remember the Lord's steps and walk in them. The word communion is an action word, which means fellowship, participate, to share together, to have in common. The observance is not simply keeping a dead memory alive, but it is entering into the presence of the one who lived, died, and rose again by the power of God and is alive forevermore. Above all that, he is present with us right now. And he's represented here and now at the table. Christmas is more about the communion table than it is about the stable long ago. Jesus wanted to have communion with his disciples. He wanted them to think about him. He wanted them to walk as he walked. And he wants us to do that as well. In 1 Peter 2:21, the scripture says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." He left us here to continue his work and his legacy, and he promised us in John 14:12. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." So often our emphasis when we read this passage is the greater works. We love seeing Christ work in our lives, and we love seeing Christ work in other people's lives. But I believe the main emphasis of this verse is, he who believes in me. I say to you, he who believes in me. We are a fellowship of believers. We believe in Jesus Christ. And if our belief is in the right place, then greater works will we do. When we partake of the Lord's table, it is as if we're present with Jesus during the final meal. Most definitely, he is with us. At the Lord's table, we remember the high cost of our salvation. While it's free to us, it cost Jesus Christ his very life. He shed his blood for us. And because of that, we have the wonderful gift of salvation. So before I finish considering Christmas present, have you considered what you will give to Christ as a present? Because it is his birthday. We are celebrating his birthday. And have you thought about what you'll present to him? He deserves the best, not our leftovers. He should be our first consideration as we celebrate Christmas. And then finally, we have Christmas future. He said, when we go to the table, when we receive communion, we are to do this until he comes. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, he said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he comes. So we are proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. When we receive communion, we are saying that we believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. Hallelujah. Jesus spoke of his coming kingdom. And it's an eternal kingdom. And it's a kingdom that is governed by peace. The peace of his kingdom will have no end. When Jesus Christ was born, the angels were singing peace on earth, goodwill towards men. They were announcing that the King of Kings had arrived in this world and that his kingdom would be established. Amen. And we should be really happy about that. Yes. So he came into the world as a baby in Bethlehem. But he will come again as a ruling king. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are to remember the promise of his return. You see, the Last Supper really isn't the Last Supper. Because the next supper we have is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19, 7 through 10 says this. Let us be glad and rejoice. Woohoo! Let's give honor to him. Amen. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. So as we think about the three tenses of Christmas, past, present, and future, let's be sure to remember that our past is forgiven and it's forgotten. And if yours isn't forgiven and forgotten, it can be. Amen. That's the good news of the kingdom of God. Yes. Give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord. And our present is a gift from the Lord. It's the gift of life. It cannot be purchased with your finances, but rather Jesus Christ purchased it with his own blood. He gave his life that we could live. Jesus Christ redeemed us. And our future is unwritten. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So basically, you could say, as far as we're concerned, our future is uncertain. That's right. Amen. We do not know what another day will bring. But we know who holds our life in his hand. He says he keeps us in the palm of his hand. So God is watching over your future. He has plans for you, hope, and a future. And like I always share, we're on a need-to-know basis. When we need to know, he lets us know. Other than that, it's kind of uncertain. But we know that the end is sure. Because we know that we will spend eternity with him. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to ask the elders if they will come forward and prepare to serve you communion. And as we approach the Lord's table today, let's give thanks. Let's come with thankful, grateful hearts. Thankful that he was born in a stable. That's where it all started. Thankful that he was the perfect Lamb of God. That he lived a sinless life. And thankful that he was willing to give his body and shed his blood for you and I. He was willing to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. And this is an example of God's great love for each one of us. God loves us more than what we can even imagine. God's great love. And as they come forward and prepare to serve you, the ushers will release you to come up and receive your cup and bread. And please take that and go back to your seat, and we'll receive it together. Remember, communion is a time that we participate together. The scripture tells us to examine yourself when you're receiving communion. And I'm going to read some scripture from 1 Corinthians 11:28-31. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So let's take a moment to examine ourselves. When God asks us to examine ourselves, it isn't a condemnation, but it's a command. He commands us, thus saith the Lord, examine ourselves before we receive the cup. Because he made provision for us. If we know there is a sin in our life, if we know that we are not where we should be with God, right now, at this very moment, we can ask him to forgive us. And his blood cleanses us from our sins, from all unrighteousness. So it's not a condemnation. It's an, I love you. Examine yourself. Right now, I have forgiveness for you. So let's take a moment and bow our heads and examine our own lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your forgiveness for us. That right now at this moment, you are here with us as we take communion. We do this in remembrance of you. We do this in honor of you. We do this in reverence and respect of your death. Let's hold up the cup together, or let's do the bread first. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread this morning in remembrance of Jesus. Reading on in verse 25, let's hold up the cup. This juice represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. He was born to die. He was born in a stable to make a way for us to have communion with him at the table. What an honor this morning as we lift up this cup. Verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he comes." Let's drink of the cup. Lord, thank you for this wonderful time of communion together. Bless this family. Draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.